Ai, which is beside Beth Arvin, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labour thither, for they are but a few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote at them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do under thy great name? The Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they've also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies, until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarites, and he brought the family of the Zarites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent. And behold, he was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them under the valley of Achor. Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Amen. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather around the word of God once again. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, our hearts would be open to that which you'd have for us today. We pray that the Spirit of God would minister to each and every need here this morning, Lord, as only you can. We pray that you would break thou the bread of life so that each one of us would be fed and each one of us, Lord, might be blessed and challenged and encouraged, whatever it is, Lord, so that your will be accomplished this morning. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. We read the story of the nation of Israel, and there's been some things happening there. We back up just a little into chapter 6 just to review the story there. Remember, God had said to the nation of Israel when they went over the river of Jordan that they were to begin to destroy all the different nations that were in the land, whether it be the Hittites and all the different ones there. They were to go in and to destroy all of them. And God said they were to start at the city of Jericho. Jericho was a great fortified city, and it seemed in a sense that it would be very unlikely that they could do too much with Jericho, but God said that's the first target, and here's how you're going to deal with it. Walk around it every day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, walk around it seven times, then we'll have you blow the trumpet, give a shout, and the walls will come down. Unusual army tactics, but that's what God told them to do. Very simple instructions, very simple for things that God wanted them to do. And so the Bible tells us that they did that. They walked around the wall each day and followed God's instructions. But part of his instructions were given this. In chapter 6, the Bible says there that, verse 17, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. God said, the whole city is under my curse. He says, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. It's interesting, when you look in the book of James, you find that Rahab was justified by the works that she did. She had believed in the God of Israel. She had believed in God and trusted in him, committed her life to him, and the result was that she was justified. You see, salvation is all about grace and faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Rahab was enjoying that justification, that salvation which comes by the grace of God through faith. She was the only one spared, and all that were in her house were spared. Joshua had said, when we come to take the city, having sent spies in earlier and come back with the story, when we take the city, we will spare you and all that are in your house. Outside that, everything will be destroyed. God said, everything in the city is accursed. Verse 18, chapter 6, and ye, in any wise, keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the cursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now there's some simple instructions. God said to the children of Israel, when you go into Jericho, once those walls are down, he said, don't take anything for yourself. The whole city, everything in it, has my curse upon it. Now unless you want to be partakers of the curse, then don't take any of it. But, verse 19, all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This is a huge city with a huge wall. I understand it was some meters thick. And when they followed God's instructions, the walls fell down flat. And the children of Israel went up and they destroyed all of it. That says in verse 24 of chapter 6, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessel of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. On the surface, it seemed like everything was fine. Everything had been taken care of. God said, here's how you do it. You walk around the city. When the walls fall down flat, then run in, kill all the inhabitants of the city and burn everything in the city, but take the silver and gold and bring that out, and the vessels of brass and iron, and put those in the treasury house of the Lord, and do it all. So it would seem at the end of chapter 6 that everything's good. It's all been taken care of. Chapter 7, though, starts with a but. What seemed to be all right on the outside was anything but all right from God's viewpoint. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. In other words, remember what God had said in verse 18, chapter 6. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. He said, don't take anything for yourself out of the city. Chapter 7 says, but Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Not only was God angry with Achan, he was angry with the whole nation. You say, that's a bit severe, that's a bit harsh. Well, we may think that, but remember that God hates sin. And as much as we hear today that God loves everybody, God also at times is very angry, and angry with sin, and angry with sinners. And so it was. And so we read there, Joshua sent the men from Jericho to Ai. Went up and had a look at it. And they viewed Ai. Verse 3, they returned to Joshua and said, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labour thither, for they are but a few. Here's an important lesson for us, I believe, right here. We don't find Joshua or the people of Israel praying about it. Problem number one. They'd had a great victory. The walls had come down in Jericho. An incredible miracle had taken place. They'd gone up, had a great victory, and seemingly followed everything that God had asked them to do. There was a problem in the camp. They now say, okay, we'll go up to Ai. We've dealt with Jericho. The walls are flat. We've killed everybody, burned everything. We'll move on to Ai. So he sent some men up, and they said, have a look at Ai. They said, well, it's not a very big place, and it's just a little place there. Just send up 2,000 or 3,000, and that'll be enough to take care of that. For they are but a few. Now, here's a dangerous thing. When we see, well, it's just a little thing. These are just little matters. This is just a little issue. This is just a little something. I'll take care of it. We're in very, very dangerous ground. Because the Lord Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, I'll take care of the little things. I get God to take care of the big things. Well, you're foolish if you do that. Because God wants to work out his will and way, not only in the big things in our life, but even in the small things of life. Joshua and the people didn't pray about it. They looked at it from a human perspective and they said, only a little place. Think what we did to that big city of Jericho. Well, this would be just, we'd say a piece of cake. Boy, we'll just knock them over and move on to the next one. But that something had happened at Jericho which Joshua and the people didn't know about. And God knew about it and he was angry about it. And the Bible says in verse 4, so they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. They failed and they were defeated. The Bible says in verse 5, the men of Ai smote them about 36 men. And they chased them from the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. They'd gone up, believed that they could take care of it. Well, it's only a small place. We'll send up 2,000 or 3,000 men. They'll just go in there, wipe that city, and then we'll move on. But what happened was the exact opposite. They failed and they were defeated by the men of Ai. In fact, they had to run away and about 36 Israelite men were killed. If you get nothing else out of this morning's message, remember, you need to pray about everything. You need to pray about everything, even the little things. You know, we wonder sometimes why we have problems in our lives and things aren't working out quite the way we thought they would. most times, many times, it's a prayer problem. We haven't prayed about it. We've gone on, this is a little thing, we can take care of this, we can do that, we'll do this, we'll do that. No big deal. In a sense, we're saying we don't need God's help for this one. We need God's help for everything. It doesn't matter. You know, the reason why you're breathing today is because of God's grace. You know, life comes from God. We don't manufacture life. We don't wake up in the morning, turn on our generator, and somehow create a bit of life to get us through the day. I mean, it's all from God. He is the one who gives and sustains life. God is the one who holds all things together by the word of his power. And we need to remember that. And so even in the very, what we call small things of life, then we need to make sure we have committed those things to God in prayer first of all. So that we don't finish up, as we would say, with egg on our face a little bit down the track and find out that, uh-oh, that didn't work. Why didn't that work? So we've got to back up like the children of Israel did and come back to God and say, how come that happened? Joshua, verse 6, rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. I mean, picture this. They've been quite complacent. Well, you know, we've just cleaned up Jericho, and Joshua waves about 3,000 men. See your fellas shortly, just go up and take care of Ai and come back. They came back, all right? They come running back with 36 dead bodies along with them. And Joshua tears his clothes, which was an eastern sign of grief, and he tore his clothes, he rent his clothes, and he fell on his face. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads as a sign of grieving and mourning right through until even. It's usually different to what we do, isn't it? Something doesn't go wrong. Wonder what happened there. Move on. You know, we see oftentimes in the scriptures a lot different approach to matters of life than what we see in our own lives. These people were grieved at what had taken place. And Joshua was quite, I believe he was quite sincere about all this. He says, alas, O God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we'd been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. He said, God, it would have been better if we'd stayed on the other side. Looks like you've brought us out here to die. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around, cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do under thy great name? Joshua is, I like the way he's praying, really, because he's saying, Lord, this is a disgrace what's happened. And Lord, what are people going to say about your name? They're going to look and say, God brought them out there but couldn't get through the whole job with them. Somehow God let them down. Somehow God wasn't able. I believe that's what was going through Joshua's mind. And that's a proper concern. He was concerned not only for the people and the possibility they might all finish up dying there, but he was concerned about God's name and God's glory. We all ought to be concerned about God's glory. Don't worry about your own name. Worry about God's first. Then maybe others and then yourself. But notice what God said. The Lord said unto Joshua, stop praying. Stop praying. Get up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face. He said, stop praying, Joshua. Get up. It's a challenge, isn't it, when God says, stop praying. He says, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, dissembled also. They have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. God had taken his blessing off the nation and said, Joshua, stand up. Remember, they're on their faces before God. He's torn his clothes and he's got dust on his head along with the elders. And they're saying, Lord, what's the problem? How come we've been defeated? This is terrible. This is a disgrace. And Lord, your name is at stake. And on their faces, and God interrupted the prayer meeting. He said, stand up. Stand up, Joshua. There's a problem in the camp. Someone has taken of the accursed thing, those things I told you not to take. Someone has taken it, and they've not only taken it, but they've hidden it in the camp. And God says, I won't be with you anymore until you destroy it. It's pretty serious, isn't it? Very serious. Very serious. He says, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. God says, you will not have one more victory until you deal with this. Serious. Serious business. And God gave instructions, said, I want you to, you're going to take them, first of all, the tribe, and then the group within the tribe, and then the families, and then the family, and the in within the family, and then right down until we find the individual. God said, there's no more blessing. I want you to stop praying, and I want you to deal with this situation, Joshua. Well, that's what he did. Verse 16 says, so Joshua rose up early in the morning. So he slept that night, but early next morning he rose up and brought Israel by their tribes, and Judah was taken, then the family of Zarahites, and then Zabdi was taken, and then he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah was taken. And so as they worked through from which tribe is it? It's the tribe of Judah. Now which one here and which one here? And they narrowed it right down to Achan, who is one of the members of the tribe of Judah. And they brought him before Joshua. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. So remember the story. They've gone up to Ai to do battle. They lose the battle. They lose 36 men in the battle. They go and pray. They spend a day. Once they've got back, they pray through the rest of the day with a sackcloth and ashes and grieving about it. And God says, stop praying. Get up. Here's what I want you to do, Joshua. There's sin in the camp. You have to deal with it. And until you deal with it, no blessing. And the early next morning, Joshua gets up and Achan stands up there. And notice what happened here in Achan's life, because this canon does happen in all of our lives if we're not very careful. It's the progression which the book of James talks about. And I'll deal with that in a moment. Verse 21, Achan said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Be careful what you look at and how you look at it. Be careful what you look at and how you look at it. You see, Achan's problem started by looking. He looked and saw a goodly Babylonian garment. Now, I don't know what sort of garment it was. I doubt whether it was quite like this, but while he was there in Jericho, and the destruction of Jericho was taking place, Achan happened to look and saw a garment there, and he said, I like the look of that. I reckon I could look pretty. It's about my colour, about my size even. I think I could look pretty fancy with that. He saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. So wherever he was at the time, he saw the garment, he saw the silver and the gold, and he sees it. You say, nothing wrong with looking at it. No, there was nothing wrong with looking at it. But it's what you do with your thought process once you've looked at it. You see, that's where the problem lies. Nothing wrong with looking. You know, a lot of things you can't help but see unless you walk around with your eyes closed all day. But it's what you do in your thoughts once you've seen those things. And for Achan, he says, I looked and then I coveted them. I coveted them. I looked and then I coveted and I saw them. And then I want those. That's what I want. I want that garment. I want that silver and gold. Be careful what you look at and how you look at it and what thought processes begin to tick away in your mind once you've looked. During the camp, the youth camp, they dealt very much with young people and relationships and keeping themselves pure till the marriage altar and all those kind of things. Part of that involves making sure that you're very careful with your eyes, what you look at and how you look, and then what you think after you've looked. Amen? Very careful. Very careful. You people who go window shopping, be very careful. So what's wrong with window shopping? Nothing, as long as all you do is look and move on. The danger is we see that and we start covering. That's one reason I don't bother reading all the advertising material they put in your letterbox. I'm happy for them to put it in there. If it wasn't for my wife, I'd move it from the letterbox to the rubbish bin. She likes to get all the specials and all that sort of thing. That's not a problem. But the danger is if we start going through these, I watch what happens. You go, oh, I wouldn't mind one of those. Boy, I'd love one of these. How good would that be? And before long, if we're not careful, the old brain's ticking over. Hey, how can I get some money to buy that? And on it goes. Be careful what you look at and how and then what follows. Because for Achan, he looked at it and he coveted it. He said, I want that garment, I want that silver and gold. I want it. Now, the book of James says, every man, says, don't say when you're tempted, you're tempted of God, because God tempteth no man, neither can he be tempted with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's the progression. Achan looked, he coveted, he desired, and that conceived and brought forth sin. Because what happened? He coveted then and took them. Now he knew he shouldn't have took them. So how do you know he knew? Because he went and hid them. Hello? He went and hid them. Be careful what you look at. You hear stories and be careful. I'll say this just on my mind at the moment for some reason. Be careful what you look at, young men. Be careful. More than one young man, I don't know about here this morning, but more than one young man has got some pornography hidden away somewhere. Be careful of that. Because that will lead you to sin. Be careful of that. You say, I've got it hidden away. Nobody knows. God knows, by the way. Nobody knew except Achan, and I believe his family knew as well. You don't go and hide that in the middle of your tent without your family knowing about it. Be careful what you look at. You start to covet, and you start to take. And we know what happened to Achan. They all died. Then sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Be careful. Don't think, I'll just hide it. I hide it on my mobile phone. I hide it on my computer. I hide it under my bed. I hide it, in my car. I hide it here. Don't bother. God knows. God knows. Be careful. You say, what will happen? Read the story of Achan. Learn a lesson from Achan. Achan saw it. He coveted it. He took it. And then he hid it. He said, it's mine. It's mine. So I wonder when he thought he was ever going to wear that thing. I don't know when he thought he was going to wear it. If to make it fully his, he's going to have to dig it up one day and put it on. Otherwise, it was a waste of time taking it in the first place. So we don't know what was going on through Achan's mind when he thought he was going to bring all this out. But we do know the progression. Every man can follow this. When he's tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. He said, I've taken them and hidden them. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. And again, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. They took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel then took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen, and his ass, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stone. Yes, that's very harsh. It seems to us very harsh. That's true. But remember, God is a holy and a righteous and a just God. God does not overlook sin in the sense that, well, that's okay, we'll let you off. The same God whom the Bible says God so loved the world is the same God who will one day cast the majority of mankind into hell. The same God. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to avoid that penalty, then we need to, by the grace of God, through faith, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, believing he died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day, physically and bodily, did that for us. And then there is now no condemnation to those which are in Christ. But for those who don't, then what we see here in a form is Achan and all his family being burned. One day, all those who haven't trusted Christ as their Saviour will burn in a devil's hell forever. But let me just encourage you about this. Sometimes we have no victory in our life and we're praying about something. Oh, Lord. You know, whatever it is, maybe someone's having trouble giving up smoking as a Christian and they're just having trouble with it and they're saying, oh Lord, please take this away, please take it away, please take it away. And God has to say to them, stop praying and start doing something about it. You see, we can sometimes blame our sin on God, as it were, by saying, well, I've prayed about it and God hasn't taken it away. Well, look at this situation here. Joshua said, what's the problem, God? And God said, Joshua, get up, stop praying and deal with it. Deal with it. And I'll tell you how to deal with it. Deal with it this way. And when you find the individual and all that's his, then I want you to burn it. That's the way it's going to be. So God gives the instruction, how do I give it up? So you say, what if I'm struggling with smoking and I just can't seem to give it up? I've asked God, we'll do some things. Number one, don't buy anymore. That'll be helpful. You say, but I just can't help it. Well, just don't anyway. You'd be surprised. God might give you the grace once you start being obedient, doing things that God tells you to do. But I just use that by illustration. It can apply in any area of our lives. We've got to be careful that we're not praying like Joshua was and getting nowhere fast. And God said, stop praying, Joshua, and deal with it. And he says, deal with what? And that may be our lives. We're not getting victory for some reason or other. We don't seem to be enjoying God's fullness or God's blessing a certain period of time. We're wondering why not. And we ask God and God says, well, here's why not. You've got this sin in your life. You need to deal with that. Oh, okay. Then if you'll deal with that, then the blessings will continue, because we know that's what happened with the children of Israel. When they dealt with that, then they went up to Ai and destroyed it totally. And not only that, God said to them, by the way, from Ai you're allowed to take some of the spoil for yourself. In Jericho, God said, don't take anything. Now in Ai, help yourself. See something that you like, that'll be okay. If only Achan could have waited. If only Achan could have been obedient to what God had made very clear. Don't touch anything there. That's clear. You don't have to. I wonder what God means by don't touch anything. It's not hard to work out. Just don't touch anything. Leave it all there except the silver, the gold, and the iron and the brass. That'll go into the treasury of God. And so we need to be careful. And sometimes no victory comes. And it might be in our lives as individuals. It might be in our lives as families. It might be in a church life where God's saying, look, the blessing has been inhibited or even stopped because there's something in the camp that needs to be dealt with. You think about the church at Corinth. There was a situation in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll maybe turn there for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and I liken it to this situation in the nation of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The book of Corinthians is written to correct many problems in the church at Corinth. But there was one problem here that Paul was dealing with in chapter 5. He said, it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Now Paul said, you've got a problem in the church here. Here's a man with his father's wife. He said, that wouldn't even be named among the Gentiles. And what's worse, he says in verse 2, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he has done this deed that he might be taken away from among you. And it sort of, I was listening to something just in the last day or two that sort of triggered this thought in my own mind. You know, you've got today a lot of churches, and they just say, you know, whatever. You know, it's all okay. God just loves you. We're not to judge anybody. We're not to do anything. And they're a little bit like the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was puffed up or proud. They're saying, in this sense, I believe they're saying, well, look how loving we are. There's a man with his mother, with his father's wife, and we just still love him. That's the sort of attitude you have today. I was talking to a man recently. He said, oh boy, in our church, he said, we got this guy got divorced from his wife, and this man got divorced from his wife, and then she married that fella. This is all happening in a church. And they're kind of proud of it. And it's like, well, you know, we're such a loving group here, you know. We just love everybody. We're not really, well, we do care what they do, but we don't do anything about it. We just let it go, you know. I think it was something like here at Corinth. And I believe God's saying to the church at Corinth, through Paul, listen, there's some sin in the camp. You need to deal with it. And he says there, for I verily is absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, here's what you need to do with this fella, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You know, today we're shocked at that. Paul, what's he thinking about? He's saying that this believer should be given over to the devil. That's what he said. He said, what for? For the destruction of the flesh, that he might be saved. Paul said, you've got to deal with the sin in the camp, that church there at Corinth. You've got to deal with it. You can't just sort of strut around saying, well, we're a loving bunch. We don't judge anybody around here. Well, God says, that's why you're lacking blessing in the church there. Notice he says, I wrote unto you, verse 9, in an epistle, not to accompany with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. He said, look, you can't help but being involved with people out there in the world, and they're committing all those sins. So that's part of life, Paul says. We understand that, but he says, in the church, it's a different matter. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. He said, now if we're talking someone who says they're a Christian, he said, this is a different matter. In the world, that's what they do out there, and it's not right, and it's sin, and it's wicked, and God will judge them. But let me tell you, he said, in the church, it's a different matter. He said, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Paul said, don't even have a meal with them. He said, boy, he was an unloving fellow, Paul. Well, I don't know about that. I think he loved him enough that he dared to tell him the truth and pointed out to him why God wasn't blessing him and why they had problems. For what am I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within, but them that are without, God judgeth. So he says, okay, those outside, those heathen people who are committing all these sins, God will take care of them. But he said, within the church, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And so sometimes the blessing in our individual lives can be hindered by sin that has to be dealt with. Sometimes in our family there can be sin that has to be dealt with. Sometimes in a church there's sin that has to be dealt with so that the blessing of God can continue. And think about what happened with the nation of Israel. One man saw, coveted, took, and what happened? 36 other men died. Costly, wasn't it? They didn't take it. They didn't see it. They didn't covet it. So what's the point? The point is the consequences. The consequences. One person's sin does have consequences for other people, sometimes to a greater or lesser extent. And so as individuals, we need to make sure, keep short accounts with God. In other words, make sure we don't have any unconfessed, undealt with sin in our life. That way the blessing will flow for us, it'll flow for our families, and it'll flow to the church, and it'll flow out from there. Joshua stopped praying. There's a problem. You need to deal with it. And may the Lord help us to be careful. To be careful so that in our lives, God doesn't have to say to us, stop your praying and deal with it because there's been consequences that you've caused. Amen? May the Lord deliver us from that. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning in your word. And Lord, in a way, Lord, it's certainly a sobering thought we've read here about this morning, but Lord, an important one. Lord, that each one of us might not be an Achan. Lord, that we might not cause our sin to have impact on others. And Lord, invariably it does. So Lord, help us to keep short accounts. Lord, help us to make sure that we are walking in the light as you're in the light, Lord. Make sure that we don't have any sin that's not dealt with in our life so that then the blessings of God can continue, not in our own lives only, but in our families, in the church, and those around us, Lord. And we see the seriousness of it in Achan's situation, Lord, the progression there. He saw, he covered it, he took, and the result was death. The very thing that the book of James warns us about. So, Lord, may we take heed to that this morning. And, Lord, may you be pleased even this morning, Lord. If there's someone here who's got something in their life they need to deal with, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the grace to respond, to confess it and forsake it and deal with it, Lord, so the blessing might continue in their life. So, Lord, they might not be a hindrance to others as well. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. Father, is anybody this morning who's not saved, they've never come to that place of rest and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. They've never turned from their sin, turned from their ways, and turned to you and believed that the Lord Jesus died in their place and rose again and trusted him as their Saviour. Lord, this morning they might do that. And Lord, if there's anybody like that, they might, Lord, you might so speak to them that they might inquire of someone this morning, what must they do to be saved? So we commit ourselves to you now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.